We'll grant that request. It'll be a good evening. If you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 23. Chapter of Genesis. If you're there, let's seek the Lord's help and blessings upon us this evening. Holy Father, we gather in Christ's name. We dare even to ascend to the Holy of Holies. In His name. And there we would give Thee thanks. Ask of You, Lord God, to work in us that we might worship. Be pleased to open our hearts. Speak a word to the needy soul. And Lord, if the message doesn't have a present need as far as in one's heart, I pray You'd store it up and You'll help them one day when it is needed. Exalt Christ, and Lord, give us help, for vain is the help of man. Instruct us and draw us, Lord, that this night we might find our souls running towards Thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Whether beneficial tonight, I do not know. I do know this, that all of us will be faced with a similar situation. It's just part of living. And that is, you start dying until finally there is no natural life left. And then our soul departs here, leaving the body behind, and makes its way into the vastness of eternity. Genesis 23, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. If Abraham had married her, when the Lord called him, to leave his father's house, his kindred, they would have been married if, when God called him, they had been married shortly prior to that. They would have been married over 50-something years. But it's a lot longer than that. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. I don't know if I will tell you later on what brought this verse to mind, what incident. I know it was the Lord that did it. But he sometimes uses incidences in our life. And everything that happens, everything, none excluded, has a voice of God in it. It doesn't matter if it's the crickets chirping, if it's the bird carrying on its tune, or the wind blowing, or the water running. Everything has a voice that witnesses God, its creator. But before I get to, and won't dwell long upon the topic, I'll remind you of a few things. The family and all relationships involved in the family, father, mother, sons and daughters, everything, all the relationships was ordained of God to propagate humanity, multiply and replenish the earth, God told Adam. It also is the means wherein God brings his elect into the world and brings them to an encounter with the gospel. The family is a little place of security. If you would, it's just a little fortress wherein you gather in all the little ones come dark time. All of you are somewhat comfortable. You don't have on your whole armor. You don't have a sword in your hand. You don't have protection because you laid that down when you walked into that family setting. It is more, a family setting is more than mother and father and children. It is a group of people. God made creatures sociable. That is, they desire fellowship or companionship with one like themselves. So a family goes beyond the local home, reaches out into the church. This is your family. Reaches out into the army of God. And our safety and our security there can be seen in this. David and his men fleeing, yet when they get within the confines of the wall or the boundaries wherein they are safe for a time being, all of them ungird themselves, for David told every man to gird on his sword. They weren't fighting. They weren't at war. Some of the sharpest arrows that has ever been hurled my way came oftentimes at a preacher's meeting, a conference, or fellowship. You just don't expect from your brethren daggers, swords being hurled at you. But you soon learn that you keep your guard up unless there is a great deal of familiarity with the ones that you are around. God ordained the home to bring in to the world all creatures. But God also ordained all relationships to bring into visibility the invisible things of God, Christ, and the church. The Old Testament saint had a knowledge that there were men and women that could draw nigh to God. Some got closer to God than others. But all the children of God in the old economy knew that God could become familiar to them. But that's it. But in the New Testament, the saints, after the great apostle has been shown a mystery, they realize we get further. We get closer to God than ever was known in the world. For the New Testament church had the mystery, the great mystery, Paul called it, unfolded before their eyes and in their hearts. This is a great mystery, he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the family brings in to visibility the invisible union of Christ and His body. It's made plain and clear to you through marriage. But in the place that God has put you, when there is the marriage and little ones begin to come along, you understand more of the heart of God the Father when you got a little one calling you daddy or papa. And you understand more of the heart of the church as a mother for your eye, and your heart is always watching. Watchful over that little one. And you're providing the tender care that they need and the shelter that they need. But more important and of greater weight than the you just having a tender heart towards them is you giving them guidance and direction as the church does to her children concerning eternal things. You don't depend upon the church to be the teacher. They can learn there. But the church really should just reinforce that which you have already taught them. And we will never be as we ought to be until the heart of a mother, tender, caring, loving, concerned, do all she can to provide, until that heart is in this place as a whole. And we are not resting and we are not satisfied until God brings the little ones to Christ. That's our great, great interest. And if one ever shuns the responsibilities of life as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, as a member of the family called the Church of God, if anyone ever neglects those responsibilities, he or she has missed the will of God. I don't care how spiritual they call themselves. Family, first ordained, first established, the home. And then it is the homes becoming one family that makes up the church. So you gotta find this line. You got a responsibility to your husband, you got a responsibility to your wife, you got a responsibility to your children, you've got a responsibility to God. And if you ever go too far either way, you're going to end up in a ditch. The middle of the road has a ditch on both sides. Following God does not mean that you are shunning the responsibilities God has laid upon you as one in a family. It does mean, following God does mean that you get this thing right and you give proper value to both institutions, the home and the church. No one's a good father. Spiritually speaking, there's a lot of good fathers out there. No one's a good mother, spiritually speaking, that does not have God at the forefront. Abraham walked with God. Abraham was called the friend of God. But all his lifelong journey, he carried Sarah with him. And after Isaac was born, he carried him. The only place he didn't carry them was to the throne of grace, and he probably carried them there in his heart. If they were walking from one village to the next, or from one campsite to the next, the family was with him as he journeyed. He may have been alone for a while, surrounded by his family in walking with God, but he kept his family with him. Sarah, she had been a good and a faithful wife. She did not hinder his walk. She enhanced his walk, giving due respect as the head of the house, calling him Lord. I know that's abused today. But she never hindered her husband. She was an helpmeet. But she did dwell in a body of flesh. And dwelling in a body of flesh, sin was there. Not too much is recorded of Sarah's failures, but one is when she insisted because she thought that the promise of God would never happen without their assistance, and she insisted that he go in unto her handmaid. Abraham honored his wife as the weaker vessel. He provided and he took care of her. But Abraham dwelt in a body of flesh, which meant that sin was there and could be made evident at any moment if he was not walking closely and carefully with the Lord. Tell him you're my sister. Well, that's a half truth. But he put her in jeopardy both times that he did that, and he left that in his son. Speak the truth. I heard a long time ago, and I do my best to live by it, if you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. To back up any half-truths you may have told. All right, we've got that established. Abraham's a good father. Abraham's a good husband. Also that Sarah was a very honorable woman, fulfilling her responsibility to husband, to home, and to children, or child. But now let's move. I read verse 2, but Sarah died. All earthly relationships end. Sarah died. Last phrase in verse 2. And Abram came to mourn. There is a time to mourn. There is a time to laugh. There is a time to cry. There is a time to rejoice. You couldn't live with someone 60, 70 years. And that strain, that union severed by God taking her into eternity, you can't get there without it affecting your heart. If it didn't affect you, then you might be closer akin to the beast. But even the beast will mourn the loss of their offspring. Not long, but they do mourn the loss. Abraham's right with God. It's all right to weep at the graveside. It's all right to go home and take time to grieve over the loss that you've suffered. It's all right to mourn. It's all right to weep. But verse 3, all that's past. His love and His memories may never depart out of His heart. But verse 3. And Abraham stood up from before his dead, time to move on, and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. I don't have a piece of ground. I need to buy a little acreage for a cemetery. I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you. Now here's the thought for the evening. That I may bury my dead out of my sight. Remember his heart now. It's been broken. He's gone through the times, mourning and weeping. Man was incomplete, Abraham was, until God brought along Sarah into his life. And the two becoming one, there is a union there, heart, eventually mind, body. But it's time to go on. Even with a strong union that marriage brings two into. But the union is severed. You will follow loved ones to the grave. That's a part of living. Whether I'm around when you do or not, you will. Close ones. United in the bond that only an immediate family can know. It'll be severed. It will be broken. It's all right to weep. But now listen, this page in Abraham's life is over. Look at verse 17, Genesis 23. See if you can find hidden the care he had. Or his wife. He went looking for a cheap piece of ground. I know he said give in verse 4, but if you go on and read it, he would not take it as a gift. See if you see something of his heart asking for this. And the field of Ephraim, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein. Now look at the surroundings. And all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure. He's going to put her body in a good resting place. He's going to make whatever provisions and whatever that might cost them, Him, He's going to make good provisions for the putting her body back into the earth. Trees, that cool place, decoration, whatever. But that's the end. That's the end of children. He took care of her in life. His heart for her was broken in death. He made the best possible preparation for her burial. But the pages turned. I've known a lot of folks whose life has ended, not physically, but mentally and emotionally, at a cemetery. I know of folks whose life has been so occupied with taking care of loved ones that when that loved one was gone and they, he or she, had no more use, or no one had no more use as far as taking care of, they begin a downward descent to just existing in life. It's wrong. God united you. God separated you, or will separate you. When a mourning period is over, move into the next day. Now if you won't think that I'm a little too sensitive, I'll tell you the origin of God bringing this text to mind. I don't like to see any dumb animal suffer. If it is in my power to aid them, I will. A righteous man, Proverbs 12, I think 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. I know this land is filled with animal lovers. I'm not taking it that far. I know that animals have taken the place in a lot of people's lives of human beings. I'm not going that far. I know that there are some animal lovers that would walk by a starving beggar and never help. That's wrong. I'm just telling you, I got a sensitive spot over the years. And so, somebodies have seen fit that I needed cats. Never had a cat. First 20-something years I lived up there. And now I got cats that I can give. You can't have more than a dozen, but I got enough for all families here to have a dozen. Well, not hardly. But anyway, one of the little ones was suffering. I took the best care I could, making it a formula. But when I got home, it was dead Sunday. So I went out and I buried it. it. Dug its grave, and I buried it. And God reminded me of Abraham burying his wife out of his sight. I don't ever want to lose a tenderness and a compassion for eternal souls on the road to somewhere. And I would never place an animal above a human being dying. But when death invades, and it will, it's all right to weep. It's all right to mourn. God has made such a strong bond. It'd be wrong. You might not shed tears, but there would be tears in your soul. But it's time to move on. God spared you. Get in this day. Yesterday's events and yesterday's relationships. Remember, I told you about relationships and your responsibilities to each other and to all. But yesterday's relationships are gone. Memory, sure, it lingers on. Hurt, certainly you do. But yesterday's events must not cripple your walk with seeking God today. Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. But he moved into another day. You say he was God. Don't always use that to get over the tenderness of the heart of the Son of Man. He wept. Tears running down his face. Natural, or let me say, relationships brought on by nature, and your nature, and the power of Satan working in your nature would haunt you or draw you from the path of following God. The work of the Spirit is to lead you from the past crisis all the way up to the next crossroads, and then pass that crossroads into the next. And don't live at the cemetery. Yesterday's grief, yesterday's loss, yesterday's sin, would I dare say that? Yes. If today you have found pardon, all these things can be used as a stepping stone for today, but none of them can be used to build a permanent dwelling upon. Some things have got to be buried out of sight. Have you got a fitting piece of ground? I don't want wasteland. I want a good place to commemorate her life to me. Yeah, there's a field over there. A lot of trees. It's a good piece of ground. Abraham weighed out 400 shekels of silver. I close with this. Forgetting those things which are behind, get out of yesterday. But I had a good time with the Lord. Get into today. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before me. God will let you stop from time to time and rest. But your journey is a pilgrimage. From grief to gladness. From sorrow to happiness. But get out of the past. And get in the that you're not. You can't fulfill your responsibilities to anyone around you or to God if you living on past memories. Get in the day.